From the center of the universe, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, this is the SDM Show with your host, Rob Cairns. The SDM Show focuses on business, life, productivity, digital marketing, WordPress, and more. Sit back, relax, grab your favorite drink, and enjoy the show. Here is Rob.
Hey, everybody, I'm Rob Cairns. I'm the founder, CEO, and chief creator of Amazing Ideas and Stunning Digital Marketing. In this podcast, I have AxChat from Blog Vault with me to kick off Security Week in our bunch of experts to help you. Blog Vault's a product that helps you secure your WordPress website. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the conversation. This podcast is sponsored by Stunning Digital Marketing, the agency that can help protect your WordPress website today. Go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com and see what we can do to help you protect your business investment. That's stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Hey, everybody, Rob Cairns here. And in today's podcast, I have my friend AxChat from Blog Vault with me. How are you today?
Hi, Rob. I'm glad to be here. And I'm doing well. Hope you're doing well, too.
Yeah, much better than the last time we spoke. So life is a little better. And, you know, at the time of this record, we're bearing down on the Christmas season in North America. So it's a little crazy right now, to say the least. But that's okay. It's Toronto is sunny and freezing today. So, you know, that's the way it goes. You know.
Do you have like 10 feet of snow outside? Or is that how it is in Toronto?
No, there's no snow. We won't even have any snow till January at this point in time. It's a weird year, to say the least, but it's cold out, so it's okay. I thought we'd jump into the podcast, and before we get into product discussion, stuff like that, I always like to ask people, how did you end up getting involved in WordPress and what you're doing now?
All right. That's such a good question. So I go back to WordPress maybe 13 years now, or 12 to 13 years. And I consider myself a WordPress outsider. So I used to work at a tech company building high-end networking devices and hacking FreeBSD kernel, essentially. So from that to WordPress is like a day and night transition. So what happened was, one of the bloggers I would follow, his site had crashed. And I was like, okay, fine, if his site has crashed. And this is the guy who is really famous. He's the founder of Stack Overflow. So I was like, okay, fine. If he cannot keep a site running, then maybe there is a need for this problem. And I'm a smart guy. I'm going to solve this problem in like 2 to 3 weeks. Those are the famous last words. It's been 12 years. And even now we are making backups better. So that's the transition. So we found out like, what's the software they are using to create a blog. And that's where the name also came from. And that happened to be WordPress. And then I got deeper and deeper into WordPress. So that's my entry into WordPress.
Oh, that's really cool. Let's jump into just a general security discussion, because we're going to go there. I mean, there's no question. Yes. Isn't security a bit of a problem that a lot of website owners don't take it serious enough, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's actually really sad, you know, in WordPress. People say they're taking it seriously, but they don't really. Like, a hack is a very, very major event if you think about it. It is something which cannot be taken lightly at all. And in WordPress, it's, oh yeah, okay, fine, site got hacked. Let's fix it, and then let's move forward. And that attitude is actually coming from, you know, just the other end of spectrum. It doesn't sit well with me even today. That perspective of security, we understand why it happens, but I really cannot make peace with that, the casualness with which security is taken in WordPress.
No, I agree with you. And one, I think one of our biggest problems, and I'll say this, and I'll say this, and I'll say this, there's a couple of them. Number one, people don't keep their sites up to date. We all know that, right? That's a problem. Usually by the time people like you or I look at sites and they got security problems, we're dealing with old versions of core, we're dealing with old versions of plugins, and it's like, why haven't you done something about this? The other problem is, and as far as I'm concerned, one of the biggest problems is we don't take user role management very seriously. So by that, you set up a new user, what do? You give them administrative rights to everything. And that, to me, is one of the biggest issues out there. Because what we need to do is start realizing and say, no, not every user needs admin rights. I've got a site I'm working on right now where there was 20 administrators. So what did I do? The first thing I did was I took the I made them all editors, and nobody's complained at me in 2 weeks. So guess what? They're not getting admin rights back. That's just the way it is. It's not happening. Because in a corporate environment, if we take ourselves out of the entrepreneur's world and you go down to like a Fortune 500 company, there's no way a bank would give a teller access to everything. So why do we do it, right?
Yeah, and that's such an interesting one. And actually, I have two ways of looking at it. I have two different thoughts on it. One, people have admin rights all over. And the reason is there are so many people who end up touching the website, you know. So people will change their developer every few months, every few years. And then somebody else from the team will come, and each one will keep piling up all of these things. And there's no one going in there and clearing the deck. And and everybody's scared. Like you mentioned, you know, you are like, okay, fine, are people going to complain? Even editor is a fairly high privileged role, and you don't even want people to be editors because there's a lot of damage that an editor can also do. So that's one way of looking at it. But I also understand why this is happening, and we see this all the time. Like with all the data that we have, it's insane the number of administrators that exist on almost every website. Mm-hmm. And people don't, there's no awareness also of it, frankly. Like now, the other side of looking at it is, you know, how many sites do get hacked because of this? They do get hacked, I'm sure of it. And I mean, we have seen that data also. But yeah. Plugins is the main vector, you know, vulnerabilities is the main vector through which sites get hacked, like, and by an overwhelming majority. So it's the balance that you create. And I think in WordPress space, actually, if you think about it, WordPress is possibly the only application which a normal human being is managing, like a web application. There's no other web application a normal person ever thinks about running themselves. Like, it's all, yeah, I can't think of another one which, you know, every business owner, anyone is managing. It's like, I can't think of any other application, which is, and this again makes it so, I think the complexity that comes with having something which is so prevalent, like the web application being in every person's hand, and the world should not be like that. Actually, it is counter to the normal behavior, if you think about it. This is not normal.
I agree. And the other thing we got to be very careful of is what we call social engineering attacks. So in the last couple of weeks, I don't know if you saw it, there was an attack going around where, and I forget who it was off the top of my head, they sent out an email that looked like it came from WordPress.org and saying, by the way, click here to download this plugin. And it was a phishing. And by the way, if you read the email, they didn't spell WordPress properly, because we all know WordPress has a capital in it, right? And they didn't even do that. And a number of people, excuse me, including one of my clients, actually clicked on the email. And what it does is installs a pile of back doors. Like, we just got to be really careful what we do. And frankly, if you don't know, ask somebody, because it's a problem.
Yeah. No, and such an interesting thing, right? People will make all of these mistakes that impossible. Like I mentioned, even if you ask me, I should not be running like such a web application. Or there are lots of people on the team who should not be running because they just don't have the right capability to do so. And then expecting them to be so mindful is we are going against the grain. And which is why actually I think that the answer to all of this is instead of user education is technology.
I agree with you. So let's jump in. You work for Bogvo. What does your product do? And basically in a nutshell.
All right. So Blogvault is was the first product that helps you back up a WordPress site. It it's a complete service. It's not like it's not a plugin. And we consistently back up websites which no one else in the world can, simply because of the way we have structured and the amount of effort we have built into it. That's our first product. The second product, which is where security becomes so something I'm so passionate about, is Malcare. So as we were doing backups, what we realized is that a lot of people were using backups. We would go in there and ask them, why are you restoring from a backup? And they would say that I've been hacked. And then we would help them go back into the history to know when they got hacked. And we would see that they would have been hacked for 6 months before they realized that they've been hacked. Yep. And they had all the security plugins in there. They were on every single web host that you can think of, and they would just not identify the malware. So we thought, okay, fine, this is a problem. We think it can be solved using technology. And we went headfirst into solving that problem. We built Malware first, actually as a malware scanning tool, and we built an algorithm from ground up. We didn't rely on any of the standard Maldet and those kind of systems, but rather we said that, okay, fine. Malware in this case is code, and code can have infinite combinations. There's no signature you can create for it. So how do you solve this problem if there is infinite combinations?
I agree with you. Like, the problem with taxes, and you know, having come from an enterprise background and being involved in security and then being involved in security in WordPress sites, is what most people don't understand is they say, oh, I've been hacked. Let's do a restore from yesterday's backup. The only problem with that is the smart hackers ingest a payload 2 months ago and let it sit there dormant for 2 months. Yes. So even if you go back to yesterday's backup, guess what? The payload's still there. So it's one of the reasons I'm a big fan of keeping backups that go back many, many months, not just a couple of weeks, because you never know where that hack is. And sometimes you have to go back more than you think.
Yeah, but then the downside of that is content gets created on the website. So in fact, even the older backups, you know, a normal person does not know how to identify which backup is clean and not. In fact, if you ask me, forget a normal person, even you take some of the most sophisticated plugin developers, people who are totally, or agencies, and we consistently see them that they just do not have the understanding of what is happening when it comes to malware in WordPress. It's just, I'm actually one of somebody whom I respect tremendously. And really smart guy, really smart technically. I was talking to him recently, and the number of mistakes he made and the approach he took, it's confounding. And you know that it is not because he's stupid, but I think approaching it, understanding it from first principles is really difficult. And what you need to do is approach this from first principles, because if you approach it like, oh yeah, okay, fine, there's people doing, you know, hackers are, you know, there's a mystique around hackers, right? And the process, whereas actually if you think about it, I keep coming back to it, it's a technology problem. To us, all of this is a technology problem. It's not you know, you can talk about your user and you can talk about they did not update their website. And the problem is people will not, because it's so painful. And there are people who do update websites, but if you look at a vulnerability, right? Between the discovery and when the vulnerability really got introduced in the software, there is, like in almost every case, there is months or years of time between that happening. And it's not the good guys are only, and we see this because we have a firewall which is protecting hundreds of thousands of websites. We see the data that attacks are happening even before the public announcement of a vulnerability comes in. So there is no patch available. And how do you solve it? Like, so again, you need to look at it from first principles. And the reason I'm saying all of this is not to scare people, but actually to understand how to, the only way you can solve it is by actually recognizing all of this. Am I saying that do not do updates? No, I will say that updates are the most important things you should do. And why? Because most cases, the attacks happen after the public announcement. So that is also true.
Yeah,
but
I agree.
So for example, there is this TagDiff vulnerability. And there, the announcement came in, there's an XSS attack. I think it happened about 2 to 3 weeks. And since then, there have been over 1 billion attacks from about 20 IPs on only our sites, 1 billion, which we have blocked.
By the way, and that's because the hackers read the vulnerability reports as much as the techie guys. So they, what they do is they basically create a bot. And for those who don't know, bots like an automated basically strip that runs around and does whatever it wants to do. And it goes out and says, what can I find and how do I deal with it? And it's one of the hardest things that people don't get is most of these hacks are not targeted attacks. They're just going at, there's a difference between scripts and targeted attacks. And we all know that. So the problem becomes the minute you put out a vulnerability list, part of the problem is not only helping people, you're actually hurting people because you're telling everybody the vulnerabilities there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can't have like blame them. This is the, you know, responsible disclosure is, again, it's not new to WordPress. Responsible disclosure as the system has been around forever. And I think I have not seen anybody not follow responsible disclosure, because if you don't do responsible disclosure, or for example, if you just let the patch come in and then sit around for a month before you release it, it does not mean that the hacker has not seen the patch come in, even if it's not labeled as the patch. Because you just need to know that looking at the change list, it takes 5 minutes once the change list is there to identify what the change list is about. So you don't need to be extremely smart to debug that. So it makes sense to make that announcement early, but at the same time, you know that the attacks happen beforehand. But also, we have seen this consistently. Attacks happen even before the disclosure. It happens all the time. Like, you just see it. There are, you can just go back in history. In fact, the very first famous attack was the one which Mark Maunder found, Tim Thumb attack. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
It was one of the really, that was the one which really, I think, brought security into spotlight in WordPress in a manner, because so prevalent, everything was getting hacked left, right, and center. And even there, before the discovery was made, sites were hacked, like, en masse.
So,
the history and the things are now, how do you solve this problem given all of these constraints? That normal people are using a website, a WordPress, they are adding admins, they're not going to update stuff. They are going to use weak passwords, and they are going to do every bad thing that you can think of. And how do you still protect their sites? And I still think it, and personally, we feel that it's still a solvable problem. And that's the thing that we are going after. Instead of trying to say that,
I am so much in your camp. Like, I agree with you, like 100%, like with the philosophy, right? It's just people don't understand. And the other problem is a lot of business owners try to DIY their websites. I don't believe you can DIY security anymore. I'm sorry. You just can't do it anymore. It's
not possible.
No. I don't believe it's possible. If you don't live and breathe security and you know what's going on every day, there's no way, no how you can stay on top anymore. It doesn't happen.
Yes, and You know, actually what we are doing is we are actually just concurring with everything we are saying to each other. And it's almost like we are acting as a choir. Maybe we should talk about some of the contradictory stuff, because I do know that a lot of things I do disagree with when it comes to security, with your approach. I'm sorry, I'm trying to digress the thing, but because that's something which I don't want to miss out on the time for, because I know that we have been going back and forth and finally getting a chance to talk. So that's something that I think again will be very interesting to the audience.
So let's jump in a little bit. With your malware product, does your scanner run inside WordPress or outside WordPress?
Yeah, so it runs inside WordPress. It runs in the context of WordPress.
Okay. So the only issue then becomes is, what happens if you have a piece of malware that turns off the scanner? Where does that leave you? Because I've always taken in past the approach, and it's just my approach, that if you're going to run a malware scanner, I don't care if it's WordPress, if it's a Mac, if it's Windows, you should always run the scanner outside the environment you're working in, because if you're already in the environment, there's always a chance the environment could be compromised. How do you deal with that?
And, you know, logically, what you're saying makes sense. And this is where I'll tell you, there are two parts to it. One, I think, and we have insane amount of data around this, that frankly, if you compare scanners which are working within the WordPress context, all the scanners actually are slightly different. So if you look at WordFence is running within the context of WordPress. There's nothing happening outside. It's connecting to an external server to get signatures and stuff like that, but it's not controlled. So even if a hacker goes in and disables WordFence, you will not know about it. With Malkare, actually everything is happening on our servers. All the hard work is done by our servers. So what we do is, as soon as, suppose somebody goes and disconnects Malkare or disables anything, we'll be the first ones to know. And we'll send you an alarm right away. You can try it. You can try installing Malkare and go and disconnect, deactivate the plugin. And you will see that you will get a mail right away saying that the plugin has been deactivated. Now, deactivating the plugin, and again, people don't understand this difference, that as soon as you have an external context which is overseeing your website, then the limitation of the plugin, even in that case, there are certain ways in which, for example, and something again which the famous Calvin's post talks about is, for example, you can modify the curl request. In Malkare case, we don't use the curl request. You know, every request is driven from our server. So you can't really overcome that. You can't. There's no curl request. We are not trusting anything that the site is doing.
Yeah, which is probably a better idea. Yeah, that makes sense, because
this is not a defense of, frankly, this is not a defense of Malkare. But I'm trying to tell you that it's so easy to brush everything on. And the argument I will make is actually the opposite. Is if you look at any other malware scanner out there for WordPress, they're all shit. Not Malkare specifically, but I'm trying to tell you the underlying layer malware scanners, they're all garbage. They miss so much malware, it's not even funny. Malware can sit in processes, it can sit in, they can spin up processes, and we have seen everywhere. They can sit in cron tab, they can sit in database, they can sit as, they can create an admin user, they can create files, and files, again, like I mentioned, it's basically code. There's infinite code that can exist. And identifying that using any of the other traditional mechanism is just insufficient. And that's where the thing becomes, that's where the argument becomes much more nuanced and complex. All right, so one is, can a malware scanner reside inside WordPress? Absolutely, it can. Can a malware scanner reside outside WordPress? It can, but it has its own significant drawbacks when it comes to that, because it does not have the context that of someone sitting inside WordPress has at all. And especially further, when you look at her. Sorry, go ahead.
So in terms of malware, though, say, for example, vulnerability A, for the sake of argument, comes out today and it's a zero day, how long does it take your team to get, and what do you do to deal with that zero day from your perspective?
Okay, so this is actually such an interesting, again, can we like go deeper into it? Because again, the answer is not straightforward.
Of course.
So we do push out rules for zero-day vulnerabilities all the time. Any major zero-day, not every single one, because not every single vulnerability is easily exploitable. They require a registered user of a certain privilege, which does not exist in the world. Like, it's very difficult to, hackers don't try to attack those. So they do, but much, much rarer. So creating zero-day rules for those are not important. Like, I think can also cause damage, because, and which is again something that you'll see, we can talk about that separately, but we do push out rules as soon as any major disclosure is made. The big Elementor vulnerability, the Elementor vulnerability was very important, but the bigger vulnerability immediately after that was the Essential Add-on vulnerability, which was really, really dangerous. That was like a nine pointer. And unfortunately, Elementor got blamed for both of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they did.
Even
they
for did. That, we pushed out rules. But in the long run, frankly, I don't think pushing out rules is the right answer. Because I mentioned that attackers are attacking websites even before the discovery is publicly made, or a white hat hacker identifies the vulnerability. So in this case, actually, again, so what we did is, and we are still in the process of doing it, is we have gone through every single major vulnerability in the past 5 years. These are thousands and thousands of vulnerabilities, not the four, five, six pointers, but every single major, seven, eight, nine pointers. And I think pointers is the wrong way to describe it. The nomenclature goes slightly different, but just for the sake of conversation. And anything with a high vulnerability score, we have gone and identified what the hell is actually happening with each of these vulnerabilities. And we feel that actually WordPress being open source and the way the architecture of WordPress means that it can be protected in a manner which no other web application can be. So the patch mechanism of updating a web application is what goes back 25 years, right? A vulnerability comes out, you patch it by a firewall rule. Now, why do you need to do that? Because your firewall is sitting outside the scope of the application. And the application itself is not like a widely, it's like there is only limited usage of that application, right? Whereas WordPress is a completely different beast altogether. Yeah. And now how can you change, what happens when you understand what is happening with WordPress? Can you go in and find out what exactly is happening and how do sites get hacked? In some ways, if you think about it, that's what the OWASP top 10 is, you know, the XSS attacks and the signatures get created for it. But WordPress, and that's one part of it, but they only cover a part of WordPress attacks. So XSS, you have to have a good XSS rule. But you also, the challenge with an XSS rule, obviously, that there are risks of false positives or any of these SQL injection rules. But the advantage with WordPress is because you understand the application, you can do it in a manner, you can tune the rules in such a way that it actually becomes even more all-encompassing without the false positives. It's not easy to do, but you can identify how the application is behaving. For example, and I'll give you a simple example of it, is let's take a lot of WordPress sites are actually nothing but a simple website with maybe the most complexity they have on it is a form. And we know that form is a very big vector for attacks. Every single major form has had a severity nine vulnerability in the past 5 years. Like Ninja Forms, Gravity Forms, you name it, they've all had a severity nine vulnerability.
Lately form software seems to be a big issue with attacks lately.
Right. And again, it's the nature of it, right? Because you're accepting input, which as soon as you accept a payload and input from an unauthenticated user and process it, the likelihood of those attacks happen increases significantly. But let's assume that, let's take this a simple website, I think half the websites don't even have a form plugin on it, right? Yeah. And in these websites, if you think about it, the only requests they are supposed to receive are four requests, four types of requests. And those four types of requests can be very, very clearly demarcated. And very strong rules can be created around them. So when you start thinking about it in this manner, then you realize that actually WordPress can be a much, much more secure platform than almost any other platform out there. You just need to approach it in a different way. The other thing is something which we call what we call atomic security is you can go deep into WordPress. So for example, a normal website should never have an admin user getting created outside it unless you're an admin user yourself. But and that's what WordPress enforces to some extent. But they, because WordPress in a plugin can do almost anything outside the control of WordPress, it can override this functionality. And we have seen this happen. So even if a plugin by mistake overrides this functionality, we can come in and block that overriding. So that mistake, we can further patch it. So, and that can be done simply by understanding what is happening in WordPress by looking at all the vulnerabilities in the past. So we have seen such vulnerabilities happen in the past where a plugin makes this mistake. We can say that wherever a WordPress admin user is getting, WordPress user is getting created, I will make sure that it cannot be an admin, it cannot be an editor, it cannot be an author. And actually, in large number of websites, we did not allow any registration to happen whatsoever, because there should not be even a subscriber, because that's the nature of these websites. So as you can enforce it by taking a different approach to the whole firewall and the and security. And this normal web application does not give you this freedom. So how can we leverage WordPress's power to actually make WordPress more secure and the most secure platform? In my opinion, we can get there. It's not easy. There are lots of, you know, WordPress sites have small, there are lots of small things happening on WordPress site. But if you think cleanly, it can be solved. And you don't need to tell people that, okay, yes, you need to go in there. And you know, we should still encourage people to do it, and we should make a lot of noise around it. But also understand that people are going to behave like people. They are going to look at Instagram and not update their plugins. It's just the nature of TikTok. And it's just the nature of it, you know, because it's always easier to scroll to TikTok than go in there and figure out and take the risk of breaking your website by updating your plugin. So true. If we don't accept this reality, then we'll keep blaming the user and we'll keep we'll keep going in circles. I don't believe we should go in circles. Technology can solve this problem. And it's not like, frankly, I think that when we are in the world of LLMs and AI, what we are talking about here is very, very simple tech. Like, compared to that, this is very simple tech.
No, I agree with you. So if you've got a novice user, and you and I are both not novice users, so I've looked at the product. Is it hard for a novice user to set up, or does it take a little bit of doing?
I think a novice user should just install a plugin and not click on another button after that. There should not be any configuration. In my opinion, you have clients, you go in there and ask them to do anything, they cannot. And even if they do it in front of you, they are going to go back and just going to be like, yeah, screw it, I'm going to find another agency who doesn't ask me to do this stuff.
I know. What's a user looking for cost? Like, how expensive is Malcare in comparison to other products?
So if you have a free plan also, we don't advertise it very well. I think our marketing sucks. But yeah, we do have a free plan also, and we try and give as much as possible, as much protection as possible in the free plan. So we will cover that. But we have a paid plan. It starts at, I think now it starts at $149 a year for a single site. But if you are an agency with hundreds of sites, it comes up to $2 a website. And this includes backups, updates, activity log, everything. Like, we throw the whole kitchen sink at it.
Yeah, that's actually quite reasonable. Now, with backups, does your backup product, right, you can put backups wherever you want. So if you want to store them, say, on S3, you can store them there. if you want to store them on, say, Google Drive, you can store them there. Does your plugin allow for that?
So we are actually a complete service. So you install the plugin and you don't need to do any configuration. We'll store the backups for you. So we have multiple redundant data centers. We do incremental backups. Again, those are things, frankly, that's a very bad security stance. Connecting your S3 or Dropbox or Google Drive from your WordPress means that if your site gets hacked, that key can be utilized to crack all the websites that exist on. And this is a mistake every agency owner makes. If you think about it, it's not that you are segregating and creating separate keys with separate folders for every site.
Yeah, no, I agree with that to some degree. The biggest problem with backups is actually people don't test that they work before they need them. I see this all the time. Somebody goes, yes. I've got backups. There's a reason why enterprise companies do backup and disaster recovery groups, because they want to know their backups are working. And the best thing I can say is I would encourage any site owner to make sure your backups get tested on a regular basis, whether using Log Vault or another product.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. And testing backups is such an interesting one, right? We have this system called Test Restore. So we let you test your backups on our servers temporarily. So we have our web servers running, dockerized, fully isolated with the best security practices. And you can recover any backups with a click of a button onto our servers. And what we say is we don't want you to play Russian roulette with your website. So what we do is we have this thing called a history page. And I don't think that we should be doing a pitch about Log Vault. I know it's not the goal of...
It's okay.
Yeah, but I think the same principle applies in other places also is, you know, you should not be playing Russian roulette with your website. You should not be like, oh, let me test out this backup. Rather, try it out in an external environment with a click of a button, find out which backup is the right one that you need, and then do the actual restore. Because, again, coming from, you know, purist application perspective, I would never do that with my application. Because we built a very complex SaaS and a web application. And that's not the approach you take to your web application. You have to be very methodical about the whole thing. And the Cabo mechanism of just, yeah, let's do whatever, let's get this working. And I understand where people are coming from, but at the end of it, that's not our approach. And what we think is, how do we make sure that we enable people to not do that?
So we've talked about that. Is there anything else in either of the two products that you should highlight?
I think there are lots of things, but I honestly feel very awkward talking about the products in this conversation. And I appreciate your asking, I know that was not the goal of this conversation. The goal was to talk about other things.
Yeah. Okay. So that's really interesting. And I think what it comes down to is people need to sit down, whether they use your product or another product, and define what their security strategy is. Because I know when I look at companies, I say, what's your security strategy? And they say, we don't have one. And I call that plug and pray. It's a very bad idea, because if you've got a strategy in place and something goes wrong, you can do a restore in minutes if you have to. And especially if that's a high volume e-commerce site. I manage I have one e-commerce site that's got over 2,000 variable products on it. And that's a lot of products. And one of the things we did early on was we sat down and defined, okay, if we have a security problem, here's how we handle it. So we know the site owner knows exactly what route we're going to go. We shouldn't be leaving stuff like that up to surprise.
But you know, Rob, even in the agency world, you are one of the very few who are doing this. We have seen this again and again. You are one of the very few who are taking this approach. And I think with agencies, we should expect them to be much, much more followed. And It is not the norm.
Part of the problem is a lot of agencies are great design agencies. Don't get me wrong. So I've taken the approach in my business. I've been a designer. I'll be honest. I don't like to build sites from scratch unless they're for a very specific reason. I would rather spend my time locking down sites and helping people protect their businesses than building them from the bottom up. And I actually do a lot of work for other agencies where, because a lot of these agencies are great designers, but when it comes to security, they can't work themselves out of a brown paper bag. And that's a problem too. Like, it's just, they don't have a clue how to deal with stuff.
Absolutely. I think that we see agencies falling under, like, I think there is the agencies, the designers, but they're, at the essence, they're entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
And they are there to make clients successful in terms of making their businesses successful. That's the main goal. And that's where that's what really sets them apart. And, you know, that's such an incredible skill set, but that does not enable like them to run a web application of this complexity, like typically, like, and they have to be, and this is, again, we have tons and tons of agencies as customers with our agency level plans. But we see this again, and sometimes it keeps us in business in some way. It's almost like, because of this, because they are focused on a different aspect, we can be in business because we are filling in their shortcomings.
Yes,
yeah, so but true. That shortcoming definitely exists.
Yeah, that is so true. So somebody wanted to talk to you about Bog Vault, Malcare, or any of your products. What's the best way to get a hold of you, Ashik?
So I think you can mail me or ping me on Twitter. I'm not a very social person. I'm pretty much an introvert. And but if somebody does reach out, I'm more than happy to talk to them. It's not, I tend to be, can be awkward at times, but really happy to chat anywhere. I think email, akshar@blogworld.net, Facebook. Actually, Facebook, I do engage quite a bit. Do you know of this Facebook group called Admin Bar?
I do, very much so.
Yeah, so that's where, I hang out a bit. And some of the other places. So, but Twitter also, I'm always monitoring it. So if anyone wants to reach out, I'm there on Twitter too. And I should see.
And what's the website for Bog Vault Malcare?
So our website is blogvault.net and malcare.com.
Thank you very much. And you have yourself a wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Oh, such a pleasure. Thank you very much. And be well. This show is brought to you by stunningdigitalmarketing.com, your Toronto leader in digital marketing services. Not only do we protect your WordPress website, we can help you with your site, provide social media management for your business, or even do one-on-one consulting. To find out more, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. A very special thank you to Akshat from Blog Vault for joining me on this edition of the SDM Show. Hey, everybody, Rob here again. Thanks for listening to the SDM Show. It's such a pleasure to have you every week. If you want more on our agency website, go to stunningdigitalmarketing.com. We are your WordPress security experts. We'd be glad to help you out. If you want to learn more about me, Rob Cairns, go to meetrobcairns.online. From there, you can find links to everything I do on the web, as well as book time with me. So feel free. If you want to make comments about this podcast or know a guest possibly suitable for the podcast, please email us at podcast@stunningdigitalmarketing.com. Or conversely, you can go to X, formerly known as Twitter, and tweet at me @RobCairns. This podcast is dedicated to my late father, Bruce Cairns. Dad, I miss you very much and I love you. Please join us next week for another interesting podcast and have a great week, everybody. Bye for now.